sexy, spooky bones.
Welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I am Rolando.
Hello, Rolando. How's your day going?
Great. No good. Technical issues at all.
Did you? Yeah. did you have a dry run with your pod mate?
Well,
podcasting mate.
I'm very well lubricated drink my. I'm talking about my water. The water I drink on the side here. So, but yeah. Yeah, we had a fun practice.
Yes, great.
We had our technical, what is it? What did they call the a tech run through?
Yeah. We had notes. They said, you're boring. That's good.
Yeah. Amateur as fuck is also what
we've been told. Which is funny because that's what Logic told me. The application on my computer said, like, this was bad. I'm going to erase it for you. I'm like, thanks.
Delete everything. Critic. But no, everything should be better now.
Oh, great.
Hopefully.
Great. And I'm John.
Yeah. And welcome to the show. This week, we'll review Hush. As always, someone give us the plot in 5 words. We'll give our first thoughts and then go to a deep spoiler analysis. But first, we go back to TV Corner and we are reviewing Hysteria, Season 1, Episode 3, the best show nobody's talked about or watching.
And the title of the episode is Can I Play with Madness?
But is it a question? There's no question. It's like, can I play with madness?
I don't know how else you would word that.
You could be, can I play with madness?
It'd be funny if we didn't realize that each of the episode titles are just different songs from the Def Leppard album Hysteria that we're unaware of.
Oh, that sounds plausible. Now we're going to check it out. Hysteria.
I keep forgetting it gets dark at 11 a.m. here.
Yeah, daylight. We're like, we live in Alaska. So no sun. No, they're not. I'm going to say kibosh. That would have been... excellent spoiler.
Yeah,
but to no avail.
Somebody's gonna lose
that.
An arm too soon, right?
Alrighty. Hysteria, best show nobody's watching. This episode I liked because we've been sort of Dylan centric, right?
Yes,
but this episode we're focusing more on Linda, Julie Bowman's character, and Jordy, the friendly goth chick, and
a little more Chief Dandridge.
A little bit more Chief Dandridge. He kind of gets some good scenes. Yeah.
He gets to close out the episode,
right? First we should probably start at the end, right? Faith finds out Faith has figured out that she was kidnapped, which I think I said last episode that I suspected that he wasn't really a deputy, or he was the deputy because he was wearing gloves.
Which I was like, oh yeah, you're right. I mean, we both agreed, yeah, that's the deputy. And then when this episode rolled around, I was like, why does he look like a guess who version of the guy we saw last episode? Because it's not the same.
How much time
has
passed? Yeah.
We clearly are racist towards mustaches, which is funny because
yeah. And no, but it was actually a different actor, right? A sort of one of the chief's, I don't know, bumbling extra detectives here. Anywho, yes, it was not the same person. It was actually, we can say the show is definitely like built on a lot of mysteries, and one seems to be kind of already shaping up already. And
which is
probably is the one that's least important, right? At this point,
Tracy Whitehead
is the fact that Tracy Whitehead seems to have hired this deputy, quote unquote, which we find out near the end of the episode that it's actually the mechanic that she paid off to kidnap her.
Oh yeah, which is like, man. So Faith Whitehead, right, the daughter that got kidnapped, does a bit of sleuthing, and I was just impressed. I'm like, wow, how was she able to deduce that this receipt for a car was fake? It's 1989 and it simply says fixed car $10,000. Back when you just had to take the mechanic's word for it. Yeah. Like 10 grand for a car. You know, like, people wouldn't even do that today. Like, once it's past like 3 grand, you're like, no, I'm gonna get another car, I guess.
Exactly, yeah. And where did she get 10 grand? That's a little suspicious.
The church. No, I was kidding. I don't know.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Whatever bogus church she has. So yeah, so it seems like that's already kind of shaken out that she was kidnapped. We can assume, because she's this sort of zealot religious person, that she probably got her own daughter kidnapped because she knows him.
Yes, yeah. Which I'm inclined to believe the second kidnapper, which you briefly talked to me about. The Judith character, I think, is in on it.
Judith. Yeah, I hear you, but I just
the love interest, right?
Ah, yes. She seems like she is. Judith is sort of the one that's clearly manipulating a very gullible, innocent Dylan. And she clearly is way too much into this satanic stuff. And so it's easy to suspect her. I almost feel like that's a red herring, right? Misdirect.
What if the whole thing is Judith is so I'm gonna be stealing from the movie Babysitter, or the Babysitter movies. Mm-hmm. If she is something sort of evil, and she convinced Tracy Whitehead that she is like the second coming or something, and that we need to do a couple of things to make sure we can cleanse the earth, because we're still trying to figure out what's real, what isn't, right? It seems like everything's actually happening, but as the name suggests, yeah, it's hysteria, right? So it's supposed to be like, well, it's not actually happening, but I think it is.
So for the next theory I have is that there's this moment where Bruce Campbell is like answering all these calls these talents are giving, because everyone's in a hysteria, so they're all thinking everything is satanic and everything is like tied to some like devil thing.
Yeah.
So he goes out on and answers a call, and it's kind of like a funny scene where a lady thinks that the bad water coming out of her faucet is blood or something, or there's been, I don't know, cursed or something, right? And Bruce Campbell's just like plays it off very straightly and just says that, like, whatever, it's nothing. My suspicion is that water is sort of is the whole town is probably contaminated, which is giving them, making them see things. They're all drinking probably the same water. That's why they're seeing like earthquakes. They're seeing just the shit on their arms. Their cast probably why they have the shit on their arms and their chests and stuff like that, and why they're experiencing these crazy things. But it just, that to me is the big mystery, right? Like, who's actually doing it?
Yeah.
And it's clearly the other big part of the episode was we learned that Ryan died of an asthma attack, but all his organs were taken out. So it's somebody that took him must have had some sort of medical background. And the other little thing was that I kind of thought Linda, the mother, when she had that interaction with the doctor, the doctor acted incredibly dismissive.
Yeah.
Incredibly dismissive of her, and she seemed more suspicious and was trying to just pump her for information more.
Yeah.
Right? Like, and then basically telling, like, who are you talking about? Oh, yeah, it's nothing. And then just, like, didn't even follow up with it, didn't really do anything for her, which I thought was kind of odd. I'm just saying, a doctor probably knows a way around a body, knows what to take, what not to take.
Very rarely would a doctor not prescribe something at all because there's no kickback. Just kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are some highlights from this episode I enjoyed? You know what? Geordi, right? We get a little more of her backstory, right? How
right.
She became a social pariah because of Tracy Whitehead.
Faith. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess it was kind of Faith's fault, but not really, right?
Faith could have done more.
Yeah.
But let Geordi take the blame.
And they need more money because they decided that they're going to release a demo. So what they did was they're like, we need more money than we have right now. So why don't we spend the money we have right now on really cool envelopes and invitations? And we'll double it. No, I'm just kidding. They start giving out like, exclusive like show invites kind of, but also you have to be a part of our cult. And they
right.
were able to convince a bunch of different other teams, like the, what does he do? The guy that ends up being the voice is a volunteer librarian. I don't know what he does.
Does announcements and stuff? He's like student person that does the announcement. You're talking about?
Yeah, yeah. Well, he does that, right? But I'm talking about like he catches him in the library and he's like putting books away. I'm like, he volunteers at the school library, I guess? I didn't understand.
Probably,
that,
yeah. But yeah. Mm-hmm. He works there?
Right, during school hours, I guess. They convinced the choir to do it, and kind of quickly they all say yes. And then also Molly Shapiro, right?
Millie
Shapiro, right, famously from Hereditary, comes out, and she's, I guess, a part of the oh my god, I'm gonna get fucking...
When I saw Millie Shapiro, my head almost fell off because I was so excited.
FAFSA? Oh my god, I'm gonna get fucking hate mail for this. What was it? The agriculture thing, where you raised animals. It's like a
I didn't do that.
No, I know, but it was like
I'm not a farmer.
It was like a huge thing in South Texas for us. Like,
yeah,
we knew at least like
ag,
half the people.
Ag.
FFA?
FFA.
Yeah, Future Farmers of America. Yeah. Yes. That's, I guess, like, that's what she does, and she provides a live goat for the ritual. They buy, like, pig's blood or something, and when people go in. Oh, which, by the way, Cliff is, like, trying really hard to be a part of the group all of a sudden, and they're like, hey, fuck off.
Cliff is the sort of jock.
Yeah, the guy whose dad
boyfriend.
Is the coach.
Seems like. It seems like he was trying or did date Judith at some point.
Right? Yes.
It seems like they kind of had a thing before, but now that, or maybe he was after her too or something. I don't know. It's a little unclear. I have to check back on the first episode what the relationship is.
I mean, it feels more like he's being very rude to the gang because he's always bullied them, but then he's also under the impression that they're the ones that killed his friend. He's like super hardcore about his friend, who is the quarterback, and now
right.
The last episode we get his frustrations with, like, he's still, I mean, this episode too, like, he's still like the poster child for the team, even though he's dead, and, you know, I'm just around. So, I mean, right. It's really hard to trust him and believe him because it seems like he's being a little too pushy, but like, just let me join your club. It's whatever. It's like, all right, dude.
Like, he'll turn on them or something, yeah. Right? He's just trying to get the information he can and then turn on him at some point.
Which
you're right about
that. He was able to weasel his way into this show because he would have ratted on them.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's one random girl. I'm not sure if she's like one of the friends of Judith. I'm getting the J names mixed up.
Yes.
And she was
Tanya.
Tanya. And she was being a real ass to Geordi. And like, no, I'm not going to do this ritual. No, I'm not saying that. I don't even know what it means. It could mean something really bad. And she's like, say it or get the fuck out. And she's like, no, I'm not going to say that. And blah, blah, blah. I don't need validation, you and your caked on makeup. So Jordy like gets a big mouthful of the pig's blood and just like spits it on her face. And then what does she say, Rolanda?
It's a $30 t-shirt.
$30 t-shirt. I was like, damn, is she wearing Bugle Boy? What's going on? I'm just kidding.
Yeah. No, yeah. Great scene, funny joke. I think there's a couple of like nods to movies there that this is probably one of the things I didn't like. I hate it when 80s movies talk about things that weren't popular in the 80s but are now. Specifically two instances, right? Like, well, one kind of makes sense and one doesn't, because Jordy tells the story of why, because Jordy and Faith used to be friends when they were younger.
Yes.
And Faith made Jordy watch the Halloween 3.
Oh yeah, everybody hated that movie when it came out.
Yeah, there's no way Faith wanted to watch Halloween 3. Oh, yeah. And then, you know, Tracy caught them, and then like Faith didn't speak up and say like I was the one, and sort of put it all on Jordy, and that made, that caused the rift in their friendship and caused her to kind of be, as you described, a social pariah, right?
It's also like, more importantly, how could the sheriff simultaneously be a guy in his mid-20s or like late-20s? Man, Bruce Campbell's older than I think every time. But anyway, yeah. He had just come out, and he's going to be in a almost blockbuster Sam Raimi movie called Army of Darkness in like a handful of years.
Yeah, and the other one is like, when Ingrid first shows up, she says that you're not going to throw me in pig's blood, are you? And Spud is like, no. He's like, yeah. And it's like, oh, like the movie Carrie. Like, so Carrie was a huge hit. Yes. Piper whatever got nominated for an Oscar, so it was like a huge hit. You know, what's her name?
No, I forgot her name.
Sissy Spacek got an Oscar nomination or whatever. Like, she became kind of a bigger deal movie star after that,
which is kind of a bummer. I don't think there was anybody else famous in that movie. No other careers were made after that. Just kidding, John Travolta.
Yeah,
nobody else, that was it.
So I mean, it's like, and it was a popular book too, I believe, before, you know.
Yeah.
That got adapted and stuff. So it's like, I get that it would probably be a movie people seen, but the way she delivered the sort of comment joke about it is very like our time kind of reference.
Yeah. I mean,
does that make sense?
They do that with was it the first episode where Spud is like, oh, because we went to go watch Sleepaway Camp 3 or something, and I think the movie had either just come out or hadn't come out, and nobody went to go watch it because I think it was direct to video.
And there's another, you know, I'm so glad I remembered this now that we're talking about it. The other scene that looks too modern is when you see Jordy standing on the street corner with her coffee. And that's a very, like, I don't think kids drank coffee that way. This is a very modern shot, very modernism thing where like teenagers drink coffee. It's more, I feel like that's like in the last like 30 years, it's become more socially acceptable thing because of like Starbucks, the emergence of Starbucks. And like,
yeah, I swear, like when we were growing up, everybody fucking hated coffee, right? And then you drank it out of necessity.
Old people drank it or something.
And it tastes like crap. And now,
Now everybody of all ages drinks it, right? So like for her to like, just the design of the shot, she's standing at the corner of the street to walk through with her coffee is like, and then the mother and with the child walk by and they, you know, turn around and walk the other way from her. Yeah.
And then that other part,
I just didn't buy that.
She's like, you know, she decides to walk down the street and she like, you know, rolls on her Heelys and jumps on a Lime scooter to get to school. Just kidding.
That was
that almost took odd. Me. That almost took
yeah,
me.
Almost. Yeah.
I was like, I can't. I don't know for sure. There's no way to look up when these things came out.
very quickly, we should probably highlight Julie Bowman. I feel like I really kind of thought the way the series started that Julie Bowman was going to be more of a supporting character, but she's
clearly one of the main.
I mean, she's probably one of the. She was on probably one of the most popular shows of the last like 10 years, and she's probably the biggest.
Oh, Happy actor. Gilmore.
Just kidding. Yes, Happy Gilmore. Yeah. Good guess. Oh, but yeah, she's probably one of the biggest actresses in the show.
Yeah.
So
yeah, easily,
it makes complete sense that she has her own storyline and stuff like that.
It's also they keep crediting Bruce Campbell as like guest starring Bruce Campbell, and I feel like that's just like a nod to what they used to do in like in the 90s also, right? The oh, and guest starring this person, but they're obviously a fucking main cast member of the entire series. Like,
right? Yeah.
Yeah, and excellent stuff.
Yeah, excellent show. Fabulous show. Great mystery show. Interesting characters. Just a really well-made, written show. So,
All right.
Let's move over to our main review of Hush. John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
I sure do, and now that you've been thoroughly primed, you're going to laugh so hard at these. Coming in at number 3 for Hush, remote cops quick for Caucasian.
Now I get it.
Yeah. Don't worry, there will be no people of color in this movie.
Well, what about Craig?
Craig. Who is Craig?
Craig is the boyfriend.
Oh.
Ex-boyfriend.
Of the... I fell her to remember her name. The nun, right? The bad guy from Midnight Mass? Or sort of bad guy from Midnight Mass?
No. But that's Kate Siegel's ex-boyfriend, Craig. He is... Black. He's a bit of black.
I don't know why I don't remember that.
Wow. You don't see color, John.
It's true. <yeah. laughs> Coming in at number 2 for Hush, Ryder has no practical tools. You know, because when you live in a remote area, the assumption is you're going to have a tool shed. I don't know.
No. How is that where you go first?
You're right. You're absolutely right. I was also going to argue that there's no back door to this house because I swear everything took place in the area of the kitchen, the front door, and then somehow the top floor outside, crawling from the top. Like, I was like, Did they ever attempt to go to the back somehow? I mean, I'm assuming it's like a shooting thing where it's like, hey, we can't shoot back here. There's like, it doesn't make any sense.
We got the Jenny, we got the lights. We're staged back here. We can't.
That's actually like, because behind our house is where the police station's at. Just that we don't want to get away. Yeah. That's why they got there in 30 seconds. And coming in at number 1 for Hush, arrows don't work without gun.
Arrows don't work without gun. If I remember correctly, there's a scene where the man, as it's phrased, he tries the front door, then he goes to like a window, and then he goes to the side, which I'm assuming is the back door, which is the kitchen door.
Yeah.
Because that kitchen door leads out to the patio, which is where that scene happens between Samantha Soling or whatever, playing Sarah, and Kate Siegel. So I'm assuming the back is where the rooms would be, right? And there's like a top.
I was trying to figure that one out because there is like clearly it's not a whole lot of cuts of her just running to each of the doors real quick.
No, I think it's just that one tracking shot, right? Where near the end where they kind of show a little bit of geography towards the end where like she's going room to room to back to the kitchen or whatever. It's a little bit more like, I wouldn't say tracking shot is not the right word, but I think it's just more a little bit like you get the continuity of the house a little bit better.
Of this like pretty massive two-story house where she cannot get away from this guy for some reason.
A lot of windows. All right. Do you want to...
They only had enough money for one SFX glass pin. That's why he's like, I'm not going to break any windows. It looks like a lot of love got put into this house. I'm not going to break any of these thousands of windows. No, it's not thousands. Like, I thought this was 13 ghosts. I'm like, everything's made of glass. I'm just...
But, okay. John, what did you think of Hush? Your first thoughts?
I thought it was just okay. It's not my favorite. I realized I probably have tried to watch this movie a couple times because I recognized the beginning of it, and I was like, oh, maybe I just never got into it. It's, like, tough. Like, slasher, like, torture things, and also this is very... I think I briefly talked to you about this. It's very, like, Stephen King MO style. Like, it. The only thing missing was the serial killer wasn't a crazed fan. I don't know. It's hard to compete with other movies that are like this. Like, let's say, like, Funny Games. Which is a hard movie to watch, but it's, like, really fucking good. And then if you watch one, you really don't have to watch the other, even though I'd argue that the original's better, but because they're the same exact movie, shot for shot.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. This... It was just okay. It just, I think movies like this are tough also because you gotta have, like, a lot of suspension of disbelief because there's just so many decisions being made that don't make any sense to me. But the killer at one point makes fun of that. Like, well, if her aim is better than her judgment, then maybe I might be in trouble. Can also kind of feel like this is an early writing effort between Kate and Mike.
Yeah.
Who famously did the last segment, Stowaway. HSPN. Just mention that every time.
Yeah.
I don't know. Also, how does she know what her voice sounds like as an adult? That makes no sense. I'm just kidding. She lost her voice at 13, so she can't enter here.
Well, she just imagined it's her mother's, right? That's what she said.
Yeah, but remember, like, at one point, it's like her talking to herself, trying to coach her through what she should be doing, because you think she got... is this a spoiler? She's thinking about running away, or she does run away, but she doesn't actually run away.
Yeah.
She's getting coached by herself.
Yeah. I mean, that tracks. I mean, I didn't see any illogic in that. I mean, it makes sense that she's a writer who has a hard time, you know, coming up with an ending, right? That was kind of like the start of it. And so, like, she plays out all these scenarios. And
they mentioned that at the beginning, right? That her mother called it something, but that she would hear her mother's voice.
Yeah. So I was like, why didn't they? She uses her mom's voice. Yeah.
I was like, why don't they just cast somebody to be her mom in a photo and then her pop out and try to help her out?
Just like SpongeBob it with a mouth that would move and stuff. Like a still picture in her mouth.
Just like a dead body in somebody's hand.
$1 million ideas here. Yes.
Honey, remember put in the salt first. So your cooking doesn't look like white sludge all the time.
Yeah, what was she making?
I don't know.
It's like grits or
grits Alfredo?
I have no idea.
She's like, I need to add milk and that's it. Milk and eggs, maybe.
Yeah, no, I think I liked it a little more. I did like it. I think it's a really well made like thriller. Cat and mouse game between the killer and her victim. And I thought, for the most part, I totally understand what you're saying. Like, not everything, like, because I think they brought it to our attention, the logical steps that she was trying to, like, they were trying to one-up each other, you know, by using certain things that they introduced the idea of, like, is this logic sound or is it fallible, right? Like, so you start thinking about it and you want to put yourself in their place and you can immediately start kind of poking holes at some of the ideas here. But aside from that, I think a movie is always going to movie, right? They're going to have to just do things to get to where they want to go. But
which also there's going to be a billion things like budget constraints or like you can't do this at this house because it's clearly a location, not a studio.
Right, and I think it's, despite it seeming like a very small movie, I think still that there was still a lot of, like, it's Mike Flanagan, right? When a very talented guy, who made the most of what he had available to him, in my opinion. We always harp on this. I feel like my biggest thing is, like, I feel like Kate Siegel is kind of miscasting this. And I know she wrote it, and I know that she... There's just something, like... And this is going to sound harsher than it is, but, like, she has a hard time...
Acting?
Creating kind of empathy.
Oh, yeah.
Does that make sense? Yeah. As an actor? Like, I didn't feel for her at any point. And it wasn't... I felt for the other character, actually. I actually feel like if they were switched, I'd be so much better.
100%. I feel like, also because we've seen What's-Her-Name act, and she's fucking phenomenal.
Even in the few scenes that she has in this movie, Samantha...
Slowian.
Celine.
Slowian.
Sarah's character.
Just say that for 15 minutes. Slowly. Hey, you know that Interpol song, Slowly?
Yeah. I thought even the few scenes that she was in, I thought she was much more likable, more conveyed more empathy. Yeah. So, and she has in the last scenes. I don't know if this is spoiler now. So the last scene that she is, I thought it was super effective.
Yeah.
Like, I almost wanted to see more of her character.
I mean, shit. I don't know if this is a spoiler either, but her boyfriend shows up at one point, and I felt bad for him, too. It's like...
Yeah, yes. It's just something... Like, I feel like she was the best thing I've seen Kate Siegel in. Because, I mean, she's a good actor, right? It's just... She's only good at certain things. And I felt like the best thing that she was in was... the other thing. Was it The House of Hill... The Haunting of Hill House, right?
Man, so
I thought she was great.
You know how I feel about her, and that started because of that show. I was like,
you didn't like
"Who
her.
Is this?" And I was like, "Oh, Mike Flanagan's wife. That makes sense." Like, really did not like her. She's like probably one of the worst portrayals of a lesbian I've ever seen in my life.
I mean, it worked for me. It definitely worked for me. Like, I just this kind of like. Tortured, cold person. Like, aside from her being a lesbian, that didn't mean anything to me per se. But like, but just like her being kind of cold and tortured and has this gift and stuff like that. Like, I thought she played it really well. Like that sort of very cold demeanor. And this character, I felt like it needs the Maddie character needs a little bit more of like conveying. Empathy, or like you need a feel for this person because she's vulnerable, right? Because she's mute and she can't hear, she's deaf, right? So yeah. And she's getting stalked by this very like menacing I'm assuming a serial killer, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you're supposed to gather at one point. I was gonna say, do we go into spoilers? I don't know what the spoilers for this movie are.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff you could spoil, but yeah. I think that's the only little thing. Like, I'm not saying like it was bad, this performance, but that just always sticks out at me. That I kind of had almost the same issues also for Midnight Mass, which I think is so funny because she played Erin and. The Sarah character is like, oh, I loved Erin and Riley. characters, and it's clearly her, which I thought was a super fun little Easter egg or whatever.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So,
you know what's really bad? This is how much I probably dislike her as an actress. Which I mean, I don't want to harp too hard on somebody. You know, great, but. I was actually trying to remember who she was in Midnight Mass, and I'm like, oh yeah, she's the main fucking woman.
Yes, right, yeah.
Because the only thing I remember, like what really sticks out of Midnight Mass is basically everybody else.
Everybody else is amazing.
Yeah.
Even like the minor characters in that town are like some of the most fleshed out three-dimensional people like, what's his name? I've ever seen.
The sheriff? That guy was awesome. And then he dies too soon. Like, yeah.
There's another character also that was in it that I thought was great on that show too. Anyways, that would be a spoiler. But yeah, but overall, I liked it. I thought that, you know, Mike Flanagan in his horror movies doesn't really pull any punches, and there's a lot of like gore and violence. And I say that as a plus because I could easily see a version of this where they cut all that stuff out, right? All the gore and violence. It's PG-13 and it would star Jennifer Lopez. I could definitely see a version of this movie.
Well, there's that movie where like her ex finds her. What is it? The one where she like starts. Enough? Yeah, it's like she starts taking boxing classes like that.
MMA or whatever. Yeah. She beats up Billy Campbell. Yeah. Poor sweet Billy Campbell.
Which I'm like, can you imagine? Yeah. Like you spend like a year like, oh, I trained in this fighting style. Now I can beat the shit out of people. I'm like, that.
I got
that
this lesbian haircut. Works. Yeah. And I learned to MMA. Yeah.
You rarely excel that quickly in 1 year, but okay.
Yeah, I mean, Jennifer Lopez is terrible taste in men.
Yeah. Somebody else I think we idolize because she played a very important person in Mexican culture. And then once you get past that movie, it's like, is she actually good at this?
Right. Yeah. No. But yeah, yeah. I would say those are my biggest issues. There's some nice, it's a really well-made movie considering it's a very small movie.
Mm-hmm. I think it's like maybe one location. I'm just kidding. It's obviously just one location.
Absolutely. Yeah. This is early Flanagan. This is before I feel like he kind of figured it all out. I feel like he's working at it at an even higher level than he is at this point.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Do you want to go into spoilers?
Yeah, let's go into spoilers.
Wait! No! Stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into
spoilers.
The cat lived.
They were about to kill the cat. I was like, nah, it's not happening.
I was a little offended that they think the cat's a bitch.
So. I mean, we saw the same cat, right? No, I was kidding. No, okay, spoiler. John Gallagher Jr. plays the man. Because he reveals his face finally after the first 10 minutes.
John Gallagher Jr. is an excellent actor, right? But I did not recognize him. He's like totally, and he looks so much younger than.
Oh man, how do I put this politely? He is much thinner than I'm used to him looking. Not like he's a big dude by any means. It's just like he looks
right.
Like even fucking Kate Siegel looks real thin. Like everybody in the...
They're all younger.
Yeah, everyone in the movie is like super thin.
This was made in 2016, 2015. So this technically has always been out for 10 years.
Yeah.
Almost 10 years. 9.5 years.
Probably got made 10 years ago, yeah.
Maybe got made 10 years ago. So something to think about. Yeah, so how do you feel about this sort of faceless, literally faceless man? You never really got why he's doing it, right?
No, like one thing you might get out of it is at one point, Kay Siegel is able to steal he's got like a crossbow.
Mm-hmm.
And on it, you see vaguely a bunch of notches, like assuming that's how many people he's killed. So he's just a serial killer, right? My favorite thing is like, oh, you know he's unhinged because it was like one mark, two marks, five marks with the slash through, like four marks and a slash through, then like three more marks alone. I'm like, oh, he doesn't even group the marks together. He's unhinged. He's clearly a serial killer.
Yeah, clearly. And like the way he kills people too, he's just very brutal. Very fucked up the way he killed Sarah. And then like props her body to taunt Maddie.
Yeah,
Kate Siegel's character.
That was fucked. I also like how Maddie is directly responsible for John, the boyfriend, dying. Yeah, like directly responsible.
And I must say, Kate Siegel is the Maddie character can write backwards. That was very impressive.
Very easily. Like,
yeah. No, yeah.
You know, the sign language is a bit iffy, even though she's been, like, you know, mute for 13 yeah. years. but, yeah. And clearly she's not a nurse. I don't know. I was, you know, usually when you're, like, shot or stabbed, like, out in the field, if you have time, you dress a wound if you can't move anymore. But if there's somebody actively trying to kill you, you probably keep moving, not spend a whole scene pretending to be Rambo. Where she got stabbed in the leg, she pulls her pants down, throws rubbing alcohol on it, and then pulls her pants back up, and then with a cloth wraps her leg, which I'm guessing they didn't want to, like, spend time doing any effects or, like, you know, makeup effects for the leg, or, like, they didn't want to, like, find time for her to find shorts or something. I don't know. But...
yeah.
I'd also believe they shot this in, like, 15 days type of thing, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because it's all night, right? There's, like, no daytime.
Yeah. Like, at the beginning a little bit, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's like the sun's going down, right? Yeah. It's like dusk or something.
She's making that terrible dinner that...
she's making a terrible dinner.
Curdled milk grits or...
yeah. But, yeah.
Oh, my favorite thing also about this is at the beginning, she's walking around and I'm like, oh, look. Old school, a wine bottle opener. It's a corkscrew, just randomly next to the picture by the front door of the kitchen door. Like, it's just there. I'm sure that's not going to come into play later. It's just, like, so, like, painfully out of place.
I don't think she drank any wine.
No, there was, like, a wine bottle in the back, but it was good shit. So there was no way she was going to use that to fend off the defense, you know. The guy, or, you know, light it on fire, throw it at him. Because again, she has no sort of tools. Her kitchen knife block had 3 knives in it, I think, is what I counted, and the rest were empty.
Mm.
You know, single woman living alone, big house,
making a single meal, meal for one. But yeah. I think I don't know. I think part of, like, what we were talking about earlier, it's kind of like the decision she makes. I think they're not the most, like, sound decisions if you put yourself in that situation. But I feel like they do have a sense of, like, logic, meaning, like, oh, I'm gonna turn on the beeper of my car alarm, right, so I could distract him and run away, which sort of half works, right? And then she tries it again, only this time she kind of gets injured.
Well, I think the issue with that is, like, oh, she's able to distract him with the car alarm, and then her logic is to run out where the house is also facing where the car is at, instead of going out the back into the woods. You know what I mean? Like, she still ran out in the same area, so you can still get a 2-shot of, like, him in the background.
Right.
Which in my head, I'm like, I'm going to go to the other end of the fucking house and get out of here.
So she tried to run out through the kitchen, right?
I think so.
Side. Because I think the car was parked in the front.
Front left-ish, yeah.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean,
her left, yeah.
Even where that's like, oh, good idea. Oh, the follow-through was not great.
But it kind of makes sense that she would have that idea again. She would try that idea one more time.
Oh, with the flashlight, so, right?
With the flashlight. Mm-hmm. It was a flashlight. So, but this time it didn't. So that was kind of, like, made sense, more or less, that this guy's like, oh, well, I already did this trick. You already tried this on me. Like, I'm gonna, I know what's going on. So.
It's also the first time I think I've ever seen in a movie where no one is going to try to use a chair to hit somebody. I'm guessing that all the okay. furniture was location's furniture and they weren't allowed to touch it.
Possibly, yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's clearly location, yeah.
Because, like, there's a part where, like, he follows her to the second floor outside and she barely makes it through and she steals the crossbow. And he's on the second floor, like, he's already been pushed off, And then he still tries to get up there and climbing through the window. And I was like pointing out, I looked around the room and I was like, I see 1, 2, 3 chairs. I see a bunch of books. I see, it's like, there's photos there. You can push that through the window where he's at right now. I don't know, man. This is not, just fucking smack him. Like, and he's, you stab him once, keep stabbing him. I don't know. And quit aiming for the legs. Jeez.
Yeah.
Oh, biggest complaint. They didn't even try to crowdfund and get the rights to Voices Carry by Till Tuesday, because that would have been the perfect fucking song for this movie. You know what song I'm talking about?
Yes.
Hush, hush, keep your voice down. Voices Carry. It'd have been, yes. He could have gotten killed to that.
Probably would have blown right through the budget. I mean, I'm all for like Amy Mann getting the money, right?
Yeah.
I love Amy Mann, yeah, but it's just I don't think this movie had any memorable music, to be honest.
No, I tried not to, but I was like, the score is not working. It's like a little too actiony, like faux
right,
big budget actiony. And then I looked it up, and it's this guy who's from India who, like, mostly does a lot of, like, Indian-style Bollywood movies. I'm like, that checks. It felt kind of like that.
Right, yeah.
But other than that, I mean, it wasn't, like, the worst score. It was just like, oh, something about this isn't fitting.
Yeah, so...
It should be, like, blast beats, like Cannibal Corpse or something.
Yeah, it'd be nice.
Yeah, she can't hear it, right? She just likes the vibrations. I've seen Mr. Holland's Opus where his son is mute.
Feeling the, well, she felt the vibrations too. That was her superpower, right?
Oh, she could feel, she could put her hand up against the wood and feel where he's walking around. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I kind of felt like that would come back again, but I guess towards the end, right, when she's
held up in the bathroom, right?
Choose to fight back, yeah. And in the bathroom, she feels his breath.
Which, I missed something. How did he get back there? And how does she not notice that he was hanging on the tub?
That's a movie thing.
Okay, no, yeah. I literally thought I fucking missed something. Like, he snuck in through somewhere, and I was like, how did that happen?
No, it's just a design scene, yeah.
Wasn't he outside?
Yeah, how did he... Yeah, like, how did he get in the room before her?
Yeah.
Kind of deal, yeah.
I don't know, but yeah,
it was a cool scene, but yeah, the logic of it kind of breaks down.
And no joke, I'm not like trying to shit on that. I literally thought I missed something. I was like, oh, how the fuck did he sneak in here? But I didn't want to rewind.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, it's better to just let this movie be and be over.
Let it end. But yeah, okay, cool. Do you want to rate the movie now?
Yes.
John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it?
Sexy bones.
Ooh, sexy bones. Well, I know what you need.
Show us your
sexy.
Don't do that. Just rate the movie.
I'm going to give Hush 5.2 sexy spooky bones.
That's fair. I liked it. I liked it a little more. I thought it was an effective movie. I'm going to say a 7 for me.
Okay.
I am unapologetically Mike Flanagan fan.
No, totally
this
fine.
This guy cannot miss. Even some of his like early lesser stuff or stuff he's still figuring stuff out, right? But it's still there. All Flanaganisms are there.
No, yeah, he's so great. I just think, and it's nothing. Like, I'm trying not to hate on her so much. I like feel bad every time I do it, but like, she's a bit miscast.
I've definitely
seen better cat and mouse slasher movies.
I would say. I think she's a great. I'll compliment her is that I think she's a really good artist in the sense that she's a good writer.
Yes,
right?
I'll give her that.
Good director.
Yeah.
right? I thought Stowaway
was great.
Leaps and bounds better than anything I saw on that VHS Beyond. So I kind of look forward. I think they're going to develop that into a feature. So I do look forward to seeing if more from like a full feature of that and maybe stuff in the future from her. So,
which, you know, not just like, I'm sorry that I keep thinking like she's just not that great of an actor, but a lot of very famous people, like famous acting coach guy Stanislavski, kind of had to write his own parts. He had to get his friends to cast him in plays and shit.
Or I would say like Ben Affleck, right?
Yeah.
Way better writer director than he is an actor. But, I mean, not.
I'd even give it. Yeah. Orson Welles is not a good actor either, but I mean, he's a fucking great director.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. Fair. Okay. All right, guys, gals, I'm Binary Pals. Thank you for listening, and as always,
stay spooky.